Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kevin White, of the American Allegiance Show. Tonight, we have a special guest with us, Donovan Larkins, who lives in Dayton, Ohio, not too far from where I live, across town. And we'll be talking to him about childhood innocence, and he's got a program that protects the innocent. It's called Protecting the Innocent. And he also has, he's the owner and founder of the of a ranch out there, Shekinah Ranch, and they make dinners there for fundraising. They teach kids how to farm and all kinds of other things. But I can let him tell you a little bit more about that. And so I am going to bring him on. And Donovan Larkins, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Fine, sir. And I've been to your ranch. Everybody, it's amazing because a lot of people believe in this and they're contributed to it, including the Trump administration, which has been to his ranch. And he's listed as a sustainable farm for as an option for the government. So I'll let you carry that on and introduce yourself, please.
Well, I'm a pastor. I've been in the ministry for 43 years. You know, I did sit on the Trump Advisory Committee here in Ohio in 2016. But our whole thrust is to, you know, is sustainability, number one. On this ranch, we have 150 acres, and we are very committed to producing all natural food without chemicals because we believe the chemicals are attributing to our bad health. So we bring youth in here and we teach them life learning. We teach them boundaries and we teach them how to live. And many people that's probably listening, they know that that is a real need that we have for today.
I totally agree, especially in these days. And a lot of kids don't have fathers or they don't have a direction. And I've been to your ranch. I see what pictures of what the kids do. And I think it's an amazing thing. It's something that's needed, very much needed. And it gives them a chance to get away from the city and into a farm-like atmosphere.
Yeah, and there's another element that, you know, what I'm really passionate about is helping people, people that are even listening to this broadcast, you know, churches and other organizations, start their homesteads. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us that there are going to be famines, and I believe that the way that the government is going, that we're going to be facing many, many shortages. We're already doing that now, but definitely food shortages. And if it's not food shortages, you know, the food is contaminated. So much food is contaminated. And the thing I told someone here just recently, when they authorized high fructose corn syrup, that should have been a signal for us that, you know, there's going to be elements put in the food that will literally make us sick and kill us. So we have the ability to, you know, be self-sustaining and grow our own food and grow quality food. And on the side of that, we can actually develop markets and make money.
Yes, and I have to give you props. That chicken sausage you make is fantastic. We brag about that. I need to get some more. So everything he does down there, they're making this stuff at the ranch, and they're selling it, and you can buy some on your own. Anybody in Dayton, Shekinah Ranch is a place to go get some fresh food, and you have all kinds of products there, I know about.
Yeah, we actually now have right around 15 different products. You know, we have our own maple syrup program. We produce our own maple syrup. You know, we have 30 acres of sugar maple trees. That program itself is booming. But our chicken products and our quail products, and now we have lamb. And, you know, now we've bought a pizza operation, and, you know, people are really excited about that, and they're going to get some really, really, really good food. But, you know, now we do have the capability of shipping to certain parts of the country.
Fantastic. You guys are expanding. Seems like every few months you're going something new or something. And you really operate. It's like a shining star in Ohio. A lot of people may not know about. So we got to get this word out and spread it. So anybody in Ohio listening or anywhere else, this is a place to be and to see how things run. And the kids actually, can you explain what they do on your ranch?
Well, you know, this is all part of, you know, their life learning and their character development. They, when they're here, they actually are involved in doing everything on the ranch that's pertaining to food production and management. They learn a lot of management. And that's one of the things that our youth are lacking today, being responsible. One of the things that's shocking to them is whether it's raining, no matter what the weather is, we still got to feed the animals. And we do what we call parallel and illustrative learning, where they say, well, we still got to feed the animals. And we say, well, you know, when you get a family, you're still going to have to get out of bed and go to work and provide for your family. So these are parallels. You know, look, you know, Kevin, when you and I were growing up, we probably had a pet, and we were responsible for taking care of that pet no matter what. And that taught us some management and some personal responsibility, and it carries on through life. Look at what you're doing, you know.
Absolutely, and that's a perfect analogy. That gives you responsibility. And, you know, my daughters, they have a dog. They both have a dog each, and it teaches them. So I say, you know, this is going to teach you a lot of things, you know, about you and raising kids someday on your own.
Absolutely.
At an accelerated rate. And, yeah, that's all life learning lessons. And I'm glad you're doing these kind of things, because the youth are getting more and more lost. And I appreciate what you do at the ranch.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We're constantly seeking God and saying, Lord, what can we do? Right now we're fostering a new arm of the program to where we're gonna establish an abstinence program for our girls in the city. And, you know, I met with a person from the district attorney's office yesterday, and they said they are overwhelmed with how much rape is taking place in our culture. And they said that the pandemic has actually attributed to a rape at an accelerated rate. And then I saw where the governor's office is making more money available for security on college campuses. The rape on college campuses is off the chain.
Wow.
So if we can teach prevention, and that's what this Protecting Innocence campaign is about. It's about training parents and families on how to protect their children from child molesters and human trafficking and all that surrounds that. And, you know, we believe that prevention is better. And, you know, you're not going to prevent what's going on in this culture with them, you know, sexualizing our children. You're not going to prevent that accidentally or incidentally. It's going to be on purpose, and it's going to be, you got to have a plan.
Absolutely. you hear about these stuff all the time. Like when my daughters were going to Wright State, I mean, you just wonder because you heard about rapes there. And from what you're saying, it's even worse now. And that was pre-COVID.
It keeps growing. During the Obama administration, he got rid of the law that required colleges and universities to report any rape victimizations. Trump put it back in, and then, of course, what's going on now, we don't know where it's going to go. We never thought we would live in a day where we see, you know, transgenders competing in girls' sports, you know, biological boys being allowed to compete against girls. And I'm talking about in contact sports like wrestling and boxing. And girls are getting hurt really bad. But look, America has, you know, I'm writing a part two sequel to our Protecting Innocence series. And part two is called No More Grooming. And I'm going to expose the grooming mentality or the grooming strategy that's taking place in our culture. People will want to get this mini book. And, I mean, here we are. We've got Disney. They now have cartoons that illustrate, you know, boys kissing boys and girls kissing girls. And I mean, I could go on and on with this, but we have to start. We've got to wake people up. We've got to help them understand the dynamics that's taking place in our culture today. I mean, you don't just, you know, pick up the internet and find a babysitter or a child sitter. That's one of the most dangerous things you can do. So again, prevention is better, and you know, you got to have a plan.
Absolutely. And that reminds me, and I always say this, I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but I always say if there's a male that wants to babysit your kids, something must be wrong. That's just my opinion. You have to look for those red flags. I've seen this happen with other kids before. You know, nobody knows till later. You have to be wise as a parent. Just because somebody wants to, that's a red flag. You know, that's just my opinion. Take them to a daycare somewhere.
No, I mean, you know, your opinion, I think, is really on target. There are reasons why people do things. You know, predators, let's take Larry Nassar as an example. You know, the Olympic doctor.
Yes.
That,
right.
You know, at Michigan State. This went on for years. Of him victimizing these girls. And the parents were unsuspecting. And so one of the keys in our first mini book, the first mini book that we wrote is called Safeguarding Your Children in the Fortress of Accountability. It's unsuspecting parents that cause their children to be vulnerable. Now, mm-hmm. Here at the ranch, we have many people wanting to volunteer. If you get accepted at Shekinah Ranch, you know, we have pretty much taken you through a federal case because we don't accept it, especially when men come. But there are women predators too.
Right.
You know, I had a young girl that at one time went to my church, and she left the church for a while, and then she called back because she had met a guy and wanted to get married. Well, I don't perform any weddings in my church until the two people, first of all, I only perform weddings between members of my church, and they have to be one man and one woman. You know, she called and she wanted this other pastor to perform this wedding. And so the pastor called me, as he should have. And I said, well, she hasn't been here for several years. you know, she would have to come here and bring this young man, and I would have to have counseling sessions with them for at least 6 months, okay? They have to prove themselves to be living out of sin for at least a year. That means they can't shack up and live together and that kind of thing. And they, you know, they need to be celibate, okay? If you start off wrong, don't be surprised if it ends up wrong. And so the pastor, he ignored my counsel, and he went on and performed the wedding. And within that year, that young man had molested her three kids.
Boy, wow.
This takes place more often than not. And now the grooming aspect of this is that we see very little attention being given to, you know, child predation in the media. So what they're doing, they're dumbing down our culture to make it seem like it's not important. So we have to wake up ourselves. And I'm hoping, you know, there's somebody that listens to this. I hope people get angry. I hope people get stirred up, because we should have a zero tolerance toward, you know, child predation, period.
Absolutely zero. Absolutely. So many people get away with this stuff and they repeat or whatever, and it's like the parents don't care, or the guardians are oblivious to these things.
Well, I think people need to be trained. You know, I hold many, many pastors accountable, because there's, you know, whatever doesn't come forth from the pulpit, you know, people just assume that it's non-existent, or that it's okay. And I tell people in a minute, if your pastor and your church does not have a preventative plan against sexual predators, go find another church, or get in your pastor's face and worry him to no ends until it's put in there, because those are the churches, those are the organizations, whether it's your school, whether it's your church, whether it's the recreation center, whether it's the quote unquote Boy Scouts, because we know where they have gone now.
Exactly.
You know, just cause them to be uncomfortable. So I'm an uncomfortable voice, and I'm available for people to invite me to come in and speak in their conferences, because this message should be paramount today that we live in.
Absolutely has to be. Yes, I totally agree. I've seen a lot of people completely destroyed because of this happening in their lives, people taking advantage of them. They never recover. It's a hard thing to get over for them.
Well, short of a miracle, people that have been victimized, this thing, it runs through their life. It's a thread that's in their life, troubling them with relationships, with trust. Even it distorts their relationship with Almighty God for the rest of their life. And, you know, Kevin, it's so sad and so sick, you know, that we've had people bring their children to us as early as 3 years old, and they have been victimized by unsuspecting family members. And people need to know, all predators are not strangers. Yeah. There are strangers that are predators, but there's family members that are predators. And I say zero tolerance to them, you know, and here's a situation that people can, I'll give them a nugget to train right here, right now. When there's turmoil in the family, be cautious, because Satan uses those times of turmoil to weasel predators and other problems in to get to the children. When there's ecstasy in the family, that's a time to be sober as well, because it's during those times that people let their guard down, you know, holiday celebrations and so forth. And you have to beware when people come, You've got to know who's in your house and where your children are. Keep them safe.
It's a sad, sad world with some situations like that. I understand. And so what does your program, Protecting the Innocents, do? Do you speak a lot of other places, or is this part of your local community thing that you do?
Well, it's the local community. More and more, you know, people are asking me to speak. They ask me to do Zoom calls, Zoom conferences. the more the pandemic subsides, you know, I'll be going out more. I used to go out a lot more before the virus hit. But I'm double thinking that, because during the virus, child predators escalated their attacks, and there was more child molestations and victimizations and trafficking during the pandemic. So, exactly. Like I said, it's during crises. You know, when there was Hurricane Mitch years ago, we started supporting orphanage over in Thailand. Well, at that time, Thailand, they did a moratorium on orphanages because the predators came in, they swooped in, and they were grabbing these children and taking them into brothels and sex trafficking. So sure. I've had many of my friends who are national or international missionaries, they tell me all the time, I've seen it myself when I've go overseas, that unless we deal with this thing on a national and global scale, we're not going to ever make a dent in it. And that's one of the things I was really overjoyed with the Trump administration, because they were busting up these predator rings and these sex trafficking rings globally, right and left. And today we don't have that.
Yeah, they were doing that. They were on fire with that stuff, and they were finding
it
everywhere. And I'm surprised. I mean, it was in the local news, and it was in the national news, and it was in places where you wouldn't think it would be. So, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
that's
well, the Trump administration really held the news media into accountability. So I think we could do that now. I just think courage needs to emerge amongst us. If, you know, look, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We need to be vocal. We need to be adamant. And we need to be firm about this. We won't tolerate it.
I totally agree. And you have a fan already. Rhonda Fearon is listening. She gives a thumbs up. She's running for governor of California, by the way. So she gives
I would love to hear from her. She can contact us at Donovan Larkins on Facebook, or, you know, she can, you know, hopefully you'll give them our phone number.
Sure.
And our email address, but I would love to hear from some of the people and build networks. You say she's from California?
Yeah, actually, she speaks about this very subject. She was a former educator, and she's involved in these kind of things. You know, it's really bad in California. So, yeah, I can give you contact information if you need.
Yeah, I was there in California a couple years ago with Dran Reese with Salt and Light. And I was also, I toured around California with the Eagle Forum speaking at their churches over there. And I taught on this very thing. And it was amazing. And even in those conservative groups, people got angry at my message. But that's all positive, because if there is no reaction, it may very well be that, you know, we have predators in the house, because you cannot think about this thing and not, you know, be reviled and not have some expression of anger.
Disgust. amazement, anger, all that. It's an emotional thing, and it hits home for some people. And, you know, it's something that evokes a lot of emotions from people. And it's sad to see. Some things you think, well, if I'd have seen it before, I could have helped, kind of thing.
Well, again, I mean, I believe we can make a change if we work together. If we've got to work together, and we have to develop ironclad plans. Now, predators in the wild animals, they adjust. And so that's the same way sexual predators are. We have to adjust. We establish ourselves, have a plan, and then we have to adjust because they're going to adjust. Actually, our plans, they actually teach them. So we have to modify our plans periodically. And that's literally security, safety 101. You modify your plans, but you keep them tight. Meaning, you know, if I had this happen with my son. There was a student teacher, and he started spending a lot of time time alone with these boys in his apartment building. You know, I went and busted that up. You know, I mean, why does a man, I said, if you were really wanting to, because he said he was doing it as part of his church. I said, well, you know, Jesus said, go two by two. You know, there needs to be accountability. And if you hold these people into accountability, oftentimes they run off and your children will be safe. I had a client here yesterday at the ranch, and we were talking about helping her start her food program. She wants to start her own homestead. And we're probably going to come under contract to consult to help her. But at the end, we got to talking about protecting innocence, and she broke. And she said her son is now a homosexual, and she knows that something happened to him. So,
amazing.
Prevention is better, Kevin. You know, after the fact, you know, you got a long battle ahead of you. But thank God for miracles. God can set people free.
That is true. And yeah, I understand, and that's why it's so vital. We have to get these children before things happen. We have to prevent, like you said, from becoming a slippery slope and ruining their lives. Those are things that I've seen before, like I said, and it's very sad, very, very discouraging. But, hey, and God can do anything, turn their lives around.
Well, I want to recruit thousands of supporters. You know, we can get far more done with more supporters because then we have the money to buy up ad space, you know, print more books. And right now we've got pastors that's actually calling and they want cases of these books so that they can pass them out to their church and to the church family members, which is really a good work. So we discount that many book for them so that they can do that. And in some cases, we're actually giving the book away so that people will get it. I like this. When I give this book a little away, I like to send them a book, and I like to send their pastor's wife a book. Most likely, it's the women that's going to lead this charge, somewhat like the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We could make a swell in this country so big if we just get active and proactive that, you know, when the next election comes, we could bust those machines wide open.
Absolutely. So on your, we're going to plug your book. You can tell everybody where they can get it, because I think this is that important that people know, and this explains your program and instructions. So it is available on Amazon, is that correct?
No, it's not. And I chose not to. I want people to call us And we will actually make sure that we get the book to them ourselves, because I want to develop relationship with those people that's purchasing our book. Okay. However, within the next few months, the book will actually be on audiobook. We actually hired a retired Christian woman who's one of the retired people that we used to work for Disney. She was a retired narrator, and she has done an excellent job to narrate this first mini book, and she'll do the second mini book too. So that eventually it'll be, people will be able to go onto our new website, which is not up yet, and they'll be able to actually download it as an audio book. So now, right now, they can call us or contact us, and we'll make sure they get a copy or get a number of copies if they want it.
That's fantastic. I like how you're mixing the book with relationships. And then
right now it is so important that we forge good, strong, solid relationships. People are being intimidated. They're being made afraid. They're being bullied, about the vaccine, and they're being intimidated if they stand up. I guess this is what they do with the cancel culture. But yeah, we have to, I think it's through our relationships that we help build people up in courage and boldness, and we're willing to march forward into the battle, even though there are certain dangers that exist, and that's one thing that President Donald Trump, taught us. He taught America how to fight and to be fighters. And so people don't want to use that word fight after January 6th, but we are in a fight. we've got to be willing to fight for our household. We got to be willing to fight for our community. We've got to be able to fight for our religious freedoms. It's a fight, and I don't care what anybody says or how they try to frame it. We are in a spiritual battle, and we have to stand up and be strong and speak up for ourselves.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, and you just hit that really hard, because we are in a fight for sure spiritually, with what's going on with, we don't know what's going to happen next with this COVID, which direction it's going to go, what they're going to require, whether you can travel. If you don't have this, you can't do that, which really doesn't make any sense. But there's an agenda behind it, and it's an evil agenda. And I don't understand it, Kevin.
Kevin, it's amazing. It's very clear that this was a biological weapon.
I agree.
It's very clear that this came out of China. And so now China actually has the world on puppet strings. But this is what I say. They can't put all of us in jail. And
exactly.
If we look at history, people stood up. So many people stood up for their rights. They had to bow. And we have God on our side, okay? God has not given us the spirit of fear. We need to be smart, but we also need to be bold. And we ought to fight to win, not fight. I remember years ago, people would, stand out in front of abortion, abortuaries, and they would be willing to chain themselves and go to jail. No, we're not going to go to jail. We need to do this smart enough to where we say, wait a minute here, there is such a thing as the United States Constitution, and we need to have our ducks in a row so that we stand and fight and win.
Right. It seems like we have to protect ourselves from the federal government and the state government and the school boards and the mayors and whoever's thinking that they're in charge when we're actually their bosses, and everything's twisted and turned upside down for a purpose that never was meant to be. the federal government should fall under the state, and people don't understand that. I mean, especially up in Congress, where they make all the rules to benefit themselves, and they tell, and they're the ones putting all the taxes on us and everything. But we're supposed to be, that's supposed to be us. It's not a career. I talk about this a lot when I was on the road and everything. I was down in Florida. Everything's backwards. The government works against us. It doesn't work for us. It's not for the people, because it's for we the people, but it's not. It's for we the peons. They tell us what to do. They make all the rules. And, you know, they think they're better than us. They're wealthier than us. They're insiders on everything. But we're down here trying to be honest people. The people that are honest are the ones that are losing. And that's just the way it's set up right now. And the same thing with the vaccine and your child requirements. So the school board is telling you, you cannot send your child to school unless they have a vaccine. Well, I'm the parent. You're not the parent. The school board works for us. These things have to be changed, or we're going to be gone. We're going to be in another China or communist country.
Well, I mean, that one's easy to change. And a lot of things are easy to change if we work together. Now, with regard to the school board, well, they get something like $15,000 to $18,000 per student that goes to school on a regular basis. Well, if we say, okay, you don't want our children there, we'll homeschool our children, we'll take our children out. Watch how fast they change when their budget drops because they're not going to qualify for the money. See, people are not willing to fight. They are determined to operate on what I call, what's convenient. So it's convenient to send their children to school, no matter what the situation is. They've got boys potentially going into girls' showers. They've got all this mess, and yet they still want to send their children to these places that it's not an education facility. It's a den of devils. But if you wake up and say, I'm not going to send them, so we're going to have to go through some things, no doubt about it, but it's worth it, okay? It's worth it. In the long run, it's worth it.
I got a question for you about that. You're talking about the school boards. Do you believe, just like the hospitals and the doctors, that they're being paid more to push these shots for the COVID? Is it a possibility?
I have no evidence, but I believe that myself they are. You know, it's just like the pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceuticals, you know, they have their arrangement with the doctors to push push drugs. And if we say no, now look, I've been to doctors and they wanted to give me drugs, and I would say, wait a minute, I'm not going to take that drug. I'm going to go look that drug up and find it's on the dangerous drug list. And I come back in, I've been kicked out of several doctor's offices and they said they won't treat me anymore because I just won't take their medicine. So what I did, Kevin, I just got rid of the MDs and went to a holistic doctor that believes the way I believe, and now I'm happy.
Yeah, that's me. I got into a medical issue years ago because of medication, and I'm very careful. I do everything naturally now because of that. And the same thing with the vaccine. My body is more effective than any vaccine they have on the market right now. And something's not right about it if they keep pushing it so hard. So there's a lot of people that are skeptical for, a good reason. It sounds like a trap. And once you get it, you can't take it out. You're done. I mean, I have a low tolerance for things like IBS. If I get the shot, I'll have IBS. And that's the most miserable life I used to have. And I got over it naturally. So there are things that we should be able to think for ourselves, because that's what we are. We're people, we're individuals. One person or one shot doesn't fit everybody, and that's obvious. not everybody, I don't get sick with colds or flus, so I'm not worried about this. You just take the right vitamins, the sunshine and vitamin D and zinc and iron, you're fine. You're good.
Well, those of us that have some common sense, we understand that God, that we have God-given immune system. And if we and if they would have came on the scene and they said, we're gonna start giving you all tidbits of information on how you can boost your immune system and keep yourself healthy by keeping your immune system strong, they could have balanced this out. But no, it's a push for fear to cause people to be under slavery to them. And now I was, as you well know, I was just hospitalized this year, and they wanted to push that vaccine on me for me to get the operation that I had to get. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not taking the vaccine. And I asked them, what are you telling me? You want me to get up and go to another hospital? And they conceded, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute, let's be real. If we allow ourselves to be forced thing, we'll lose all of our freedoms.
That is true. That is a huge test.
So I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to fight for my rights. Look, I was a civil rights leader for 3 years. I was used to be the state chairman for SCLC. And I oversaw all the state the chapters in the state of Ohio. And, man, that was an eye-opening situation. We need a good, strong, biblical civil rights movement in this country today for us to say, wait a minute here. They have more momentum to protect LGBT rights than my rights as a heterosexual male.
That is right. You got that right.
So they're fighting against masculinity. And if you say anything, if you say homosexuality is not natural, they'll try to come and hang you. But biblically, it's not natural. I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. I encourage other preachers to be bold, be strong, be compassionate. You know, I'm not against anybody because Jesus will save everybody.
Exactly. Yep. Totally agree. And just like you're talking about being bold, and this is the thing, like if you, the Christian that bakes the cake but does not do the LGBT top on it or any kind of theme like that, it gets excoriated and then they lose their business, but they won't touch the Muslims who, you know, they won't do it. It's always the white Christian male for some reason. The war is,
so why won't they touch the Muslim?
Because they know they're against it, and Muslims are now, it seems like they're a protected class, just like, Now it's the year of the Asians, you know, because of the Asian hate and Black Lives Matter. And they're using the same thing with the Black Lives Matter movement, the queer and, you know, transgender. It's like, that's not a value of a lot of the black community. But
right.
Like I always say, blacks will take anything from anybody and not complain. And people get, you know, could have, you know, politicians come and they'll say things racist to them in a crowd like Biden or Hillary does, and they get away. They just laugh at it. They will not fight back, and they know that. That's why they put everything on the back of blacks to push their agendas. And that's why they put the transgender thing in BLM, because they knew they wouldn't fight back. I mean, that's just the way most blacks are, unfortunately, and they'll put up with it. So it's kind of weird, because just like when our President Biden said, you know, blacks don't have any, and Hispanics can't use computers, that should have caused some kind of, you know, outrage, you would think, but it didn't. Nothing happened. It just went right on over everybody's head. But they'll always use us for that. And, you know, just like the Hispanics and the blacks, they can't find a CVS, they can't find a drugstore. the reason why they can't, you know, just like this vaccine thing in Ohio, the reason why blacks aren't getting it done is because they don't understand. You know, that's insulting. You can't put everybody in the same box. And not every black is like that. It's just, I mean, that's maybe it's not a priority or whatever, but you can't hit us over the head every time you need to make a point in this country. And that's, I blame that on people who are ignorant at the top, because, you know, we can read, we can write, we can get licenses, we have ID cards. So they use us to get voting laws passed and everything like that. And it's very insulting.
Well, if it's true that 75% of minorities have elected not to get the shot, so what they do, they launch a campaign, a lottery that, you know, people get their names, enter a drawing so they can win $100,000. I've never seen anything like it. You know, you and I grew up in a time where we got vaccinated. We got vaccinated. I did, of measles and mumps.
Yep.
We got vaccinated by those childhood diseases, but I've never seen this thing forced like it is. You know, so something,
I have not either.
To me, something's wrong.
Yes, there is. Something wrong here, like the guy in Cleveland said. Something wrong here, because it doesn't make any sense.
Now,
like, here was $1 million.
I've never seen anything like this. Here, you know, Kevin, 800,000 plus children a year are reported missing in this country.
Yeah.
If I went, I could go from country to country to country to give you statistics of how many children are, now this is just on the trafficking side. Every one in every four boys and one in every three girls are reported molested each day. Okay.
Wow.
So that's a pandemic right there.
That's
but
true.
they don't say anything about this. So you mean because there's a virus where 99 point something point percent of people recover from it, and they're going to require you to get a vaccine that hasn't even been approved by the FDA. And you can't, and people can't see that this is something's desperately wrong.
And then they went ahead and gave approval for Pfizer, and they didn't do anything. There's no testing done. I mean, it usually takes 10 years. There was no testing.
Uh-huh.
They just ran it through as an agenda all the way from the top, because the three-letter agencies control everything in this country.
So we've got a problem, and I think that the answer to it is to stand up and say no. So, you know, I want to help people get their food production programs going. We're helping them put together, you know, clean water programs and also sustainable heat programs. People literally can live off the grid. They don't have to be dependent on, when the big gas companies and electric companies start losing money, they lose their profits, people will start listening. Now, look, I've got Amish people that work with me. They don't even listen to the news. When I go pick them up, they're like, "What's going on, Pastor? Can you tell us?" I said, "I don't know. I cut the news off myself, brother."
Yeah.
You know, why would I sit there and listen to somebody tell me a gaslighting lie?
Right.
So I can turn your show on and hear the guest that you have come on. I can learn some what's going on factually.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I can't watch the news. It's kind of like, I mean, it's all propaganda now. So your local news too is the same way. And everything starts out with what they want you to see. But I mean, things like, we do have some true things like what's going on in Afghanistan. Truth hurts and all that. We won't get into that tonight, but I had a show about that all myself. And yeah, I can't. Everything's just like social media. It's all propaganda. So that you see the ads where they have black people getting the vaccines, the cartoons.
Right. Right.
That's really nice. I like when they, you know, they assume things like that and they put it in my face. I'm, you know, I'm used to it. And, you know, I didn't know it was that high, that 75% wasn't getting it until last week. We had that other crisis that we were dealing with the state of Ohio. And I had no idea. I thought.
Well, they tabled. They tabled that bill.
Yeah, you told me they tabled it. Yes.
They tabled it, and of course, I've got a group coming over here from the Medical Freedom Group, and we're going to see whether or not we can rally some of our, you know, urban communities together to at least, you know, speak out a message.
You know,
I think the medical freedom people are doing pretty good.
I think so too. They're great people. I wrote one article for them once, and they're awesome. The thing is, at the same time, what they're going through with that bill, that state bill, is actually lean. They're pushing it against blacks like they're stopping it, and because of the stats, which. I think, you know, there again, like I said earlier, on the backs of blacks, they'll pass bills or they'll make excuses to pass bills. And you know, it's getting old here. I don't know if anybody else notices that, but I'm tired of this. This needs to stop. And people need to respect people as they are, as people, as Americans. Don't, you know, put people out or, you know, separate them because of their skin color. And like I always say, that's actually racist. So we're all individual people. Believe it or not, we're not the same, according to what our president says. So we can't be stereotyped like that. Everybody's got their own life and their ideas, and that's our freedom. That's why the show is called the American Legion Show. We have to be what we are, American citizens, and our allegiance is to this country, and our country at the top isn't for us. They're not allegiant to our system. That's the problem. They're not held accountable, and they don't answer to anybody. So that's a huge issue. This is why a lot of things are happening the way they are, and that's why the governor is getting away with these decrees, and you have to do this, you have to do that. And the pandemic really brought that out when you saw these rogue governors and senators and congressmen and the president and everybody overstep their bounds of freedom.
And they were looking for the opportunity, you know.
Yes,
and
you're
I believe this was all planned. They had it planned, and they had their timing involved, and they all got together, and they said, now's the time for us to do it. Now, all we have to do is say, now's the time for you to, you know, go jump in the lake.
That's right. Right? And there are countries that don't have this problem. So they don't even look at, you know, over there, some of the African countries, they take hydroxychloroquine regularly for malaria. They don't have any of these issues. I took hydroxychloroquine in the military when I went to Africa. Nobody got sick. Mm-hmm. Nobody got malaria. And, you know, some things are proven to work, but they ignore it because WHO and all these other people want us all there. China wants us there. China and WHO are the same thing, communist China. So they are pushing this. And why can you not say it's from the lab where that's where it originated from? And there are people that are telling you, and the Russians are even saying it's an experimental military weapon. So you have to be careful what you look at and what people tell you. Just because they say it's safe and effective, it doesn't matter. Your body's more safe and effective. Your body's more, you know, has a better chance against that than a vaccine can give you. I know a lot of people are getting sick, you know, because they've had it, but I don't want to rant on and on, but I do want to ask you, do you have anything you want to talk about or say before the show is over? You have 5 minutes left where people can reach you.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is for people to realize all the things that's going on around you, don't allow yourself to get caught up in them and that you don't see the need to protect your children, okay? And it's so easy to get caught up in the current crises And when you do that, you take your eyes off the mark of how the teachers are relating to your children. You know, how the, you know, I hate to have to say this, but I have to say it because it's the truth. How the children's church workers are relating to your children. And now we live in a time where this predation has invaded every walk of life. I'll put it like this in my new book. You know, Tyler Perry made millions of dollars introducing cross-dressing as entertainment. Millions and millions of dollars. And so America flooded in there being entertained by cross-dresser, the caricature of Madea. So when they started, you know, with transgender story hour, that's why they were like, well, what's the big deal? Because they had been dumbed down. They had been, it's not as bad. They had been groomed to accept it. So what I like to leave with your listening audience is stop and think. You're your children's parents. You are the number one defense against child predators, not the government. The government's not your children's parents. You are. You have to be more responsible and more proactive. And in doing so, you can raise your children with all the way to adulthood without them being sexually victimized by your cousins, your uncles, your aunts. I don't care who they are. If they are questionable, keep them away from your children. Your children are dependent upon you for safety.
That's awesome. That is so true. And I always protected my kids. You know, I watched who they went with. I knew who they were with, who I could trust. And I didn't want to give my kids to this anybody. I had to know who they are, who they were. So that's very good advice. And, yeah, your family member is not always the best option for you.
And right.
That's happened in the past, yeah. You have to vet those people, know what they want, know what their motives are, see if there's patterns. I always look for patterns, even not my
yes.
kids, other young kids. I look for patterns. I say, no, he shouldn't be in there. That's what I say. So I always
Kevin,
look out. I'm always looking out for
can
patterns.
I say one more thing?
Sure.
Back in the 80s, I had a relationship with the sheriff. And the sheriff told me then, they said they have so many child predators in schools that they don't have an answer for it. So we teach parents against sleepovers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We really get in there because it may not be an uncle or aunt or a cousin. It might be another child that has been exposed to pornography with their parents.
Yes. Wow.
Cover all bases.
Great. Well, Donovan,
and I thank
Martin,
you for giving me the time to speak into this space.
You know, I enjoyed this talk, and you know, I'd like to have you back on again sometime when you're available. That would be awesome. This is a great subject that needs to be said. So I'm going to we're going to say goodbye, Donovan, and thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate having you. And everybody, let Donovan know what you think about this, and maybe next time we'll have call-ins. So thank you very much, Donovan.
God bless you. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Amazing. Amazing, you know, this is something that people need to know about and need to take care of their kids and everything, and it's a future. The kids are our future, so we need to protect them. As parents, it's our job, it's our duty to protect them, and I think that's where Donovan is saying it starts. So anyway, thank you for listening to American Allegiance. Maybe next week we'll simulcast, you can watch it too. And next week we'll be coming around the corner and up your block, like Larry King used to say. So everybody, good night. Have a good one. Bye-bye.